we are joined this week by Mr. Malukas. Sir, first off, how are you? Are you glad to have a weekend off upcoming?
Yes, I am actually. Well, firstly, thank you for having me again. It feels good to be back. But yeah,
You're
I'm
welcome.
so happy to get a weekend off. I feel like it's kind of been really crazy nonstop, and my body's just been deteriorating. So now it feels good to just get a weekend off, kind of get back into a routine of working out and eating and kind of resetting for Gateway.
Yeah, you've kind of, this part of the year to me is the toughest part because you have kind of Toronto, Iowa, then you had a week off, then you have Nashville, which is, Iowa and Nashville kind of in the three week span is like the two hottest races on the calendar. And then you go to IMS, which I know is pretty humid last week. How do you, like, during that time, just like take care of yourself so you're not, getting injured, you're staying like somewhat, coherent while it's 800 degrees and 94% humidity out there?
Yeah, I mean, well, Nashville was pretty easy because I only did a few laps. So but yeah, no, for other races, there's normally like just a little routine. And honestly, the only thing I do is just keep up with electrolytes. I kind of start probably a day previous and just drink, like, I don't know, liquid IV packets or something like that, just to get, filled up before the race. So then when I actually get into the sea, I'm like super hydrated and don't even want any water.
Yeah.
And that's kind of realistically the only thing I do. Other than that, yeah, I don't know what else. I try to stay cool as much as possible. Trying to stay in the shade and, yeah, just being aware that it is cooking and boiling.
Do you have a cool suit or no?
No, I haven't ran a cool suit, but it would be quite nice. I just seen the drivers that do wear a cool suit are actually okay after a race when I'm in the corner somewhere.
Go ahead, Frenchie.
You have something like fun planned for this weekend, or are you just kind of completely taking it easy?
It's going to be so much fun. It's just going to be me, myself, and I in my room, just not doing anything. I'm so excited, honestly. Because even these past few days, it's been chaos, just doing different things because it's like the one weekend off, so you kind of have to put everything in there. So finally this weekend is to be like, I just don't do anything. Oh, I actually will be editing my vlog footage. So, but other than that, I'm not going to be doing anything and I'm going to be just so happy about it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So kind of, I don't want to say off topic, but so we saw your teammate from a couple of years ago, Linus Lundqvist, get his much awaited IndyCar debut the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you've been able to kind of follow along with how he's doing when you've been, in the car at least, for a tiny bit of Nashville and then IMS, but any initial Linus Lundqvist thoughts? And now he's, kind of rumored to be going to Ganassi next year, apparently. So give us your expert opinion.
Yeah, my guy's been crushing it. It was awesome. I was so happy for him in Nashville. I was honestly so hyped. I was like his like hype man when he got on like the little the cargo military truck, went to like do the little drive around to get to the stage.
Yeah.
I was like hyping him up and jumping around. I'm just so happy for him because I knew his talent, and I just knew that, the time has to come at some point and he just needs to show himself and prove it. And as soon as I saw the announcement, I was like, all right, here we go. Everybody's going to know what Linus is all about. And he showed up and killed it. So I was really happy for him. And obviously now I saw the rumors.
Yeah.
I talked to him, I was like, yo, we're bros. Any info on, like, is this real? And he just didn't give me anything. So but I talked to Marshall Pruitt and he was like, yeah, I think it's true. So, if that's true to him, I mean, it's really good, but I really tried nudging him and he just didn't give me anything.
Respect the dedication.
Kind of going off that, we wanted to ask you a little bit about vague stuff about the driver market, just what it's like going through some of this stuff. Obviously, we know you're not going to just announce anything, even if you have something going on right now, but we wanted to kind of get your perspective on what it's like kind of dealing with teams, what the process is like generally. Is it super stressful? Is it like fun, interesting? I mean, or is it a mix of both maybe?
It really depends on what situation you're in. I'd say a few weeks ago, from my standpoint, it was pretty stressful. But now things have kind of done a 180, and now it seems, you know, things are happening. But I think this season's kind of different. It was just a giant waiting game until drivers started doing stuff because nobody was doing anything, and now everything's kind of just kicked off all at once, and it's like it's crazy. So everything's just happening super fast. I mean, from like day to day, it's a completely different story. So yeah, it's kind of just been chaotic. Especially the you know, the first couple of days when everything was going on, I definitely did not sleep. I was struggling to sleep. I just, first time ever that I had like that much anxiety before. So I was like laying down on the floor with a ice pack on my neck, waiting for my lawyer to call again. So it was, yeah, it was a fun couple of days, but no, now everything's settled down and I can't say anything about what's happening or who's what, anything, because I'm going to get in trouble. And
we don't
yeah,
need that
for next year. It's just, things look great.
So you have a vague idea at this point of probably where you're going, which is, you know, mid August. So that's, I don't know, that's a pretty big win because a lot of times these things tend to go in the off season. So is it, you know, easier now to focus on the task at hand for the next 4 weeks, three races left at this point, 3 weeks? I don't even know what date it is anymore or what day of the week it is sometimes. So is it definitely easier to kind of focus on what's going on now?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Normally, you know, it's, yeah, 100%. I think it's definitely going to be easier now. Just focus on what's going on with these last few races that we have. Just focus on the car and finishing strong with what, you know, where I'm at now and everybody with the team. But yeah, I'm not gonna like, I was just say like, oh, it doesn't really affect me, but it was definitely affecting me a little bit. But sure. Now we're good. We're good.
So I know you have a new engineer this year and his name is escaping me, like as I thought of this question a couple minutes ago, but how has that relationship kind of, you know, grown from the start of the year? I know you were really excited before the year started, but you know, how has that changed? And you know, also like, what have you seen in him that's kind of progressed throughout the year so far?
No, it's been really good. You know, Alex, he was my assistant engineer last year.
Yeah.
And ended up becoming my main engineer this year. And, you know, it wasn't just that, we had a lot of different changes in the team. And, you know, from a season we've had, it was definitely very much an up and down kind of season yet again. It was, I mean, all the new people trying to build chemistry and trying to figure out which way we go with the setup and what to do. And there's a lot of new situations for all of us, and just trying to get a consistent team going, just, you know, same people that we can have and trying to make it to the end of the season. But overall, you know, I think with the resources we've had, I think, you know, from a background standpoint, I think all of our performances have been good. It's just been a little bit unlucky trying to find where the car needed to go. We ended up finding a bit of a setup for road or street courses and ovals. But the road courses are still lacking a little bit. So yeah, I mean, from my end, I thought, you know, we're at least now somewhat getting consistency, although be it late, at least we're getting consistency and we can hopefully finish the season strong.
Coming up on Gateway, which obviously did a lot for you and your kind of reputation to people who maybe weren't aware of your talent before then. Do you feel like that result gives you more pressure going into Gateway, or does it make you excited of like, yes, I get to go repeat, you know, hopefully what I did last year and maybe even one better?
You know what? It's, yeah, I think it's kind of a little bit of both. You know, I'm really excited going into it, knowing that the Dale Coyne car has always been quick there. And from the rest of the season this year, our short oval car has been successful. But you know, I think there also is a little bit of pressure since last year was kind of like a masterclass race, and you know, now it's like, all right, everybody's like getting ready. All right, David, come on, Skateway time, like go and do it again. So it's like, yeah, there's a little bit of that pressure that, hey, we need to go and do it. But at the same time, I think it's good. The more pressure to me, it's better. Obviously, of course, there's always a limit, but any sort of pressure of like trying to succeed and win and be competitive, I think it's always going to help at the end of the day.
You have then two road courses with Portland and Laguna at the end of the year. Is there one you're looking forward to more as, you know, okay, maybe road courses haven't been our strong suit, but, you know, we can really hammer home maybe a top 10 at Portland or Laguna?
I'm more excited for Laguna, and I think we have a better chance at Laguna. Portland, I'm pretty sure, uses the same tire compound as the Indy GP, and we very much struggle on that tire, like, a lot. That is by far the point that we've needed to work on, and it's something that we knew we had to work on before the season started, and yet it still is kind of the area that we're lacking. Laguna, though, also it's got repaved. Obviously, going to be a lot more grip on that track now, and Road America kind of seemed that since they repaved it and the grip level went up, it kind of seemed that we were able to kind of close into the top teams a little bit, just having all around more grip, you know, from the setup point of view, you can kind of outdrive whatever issue you're having with the high grip. So I think Laguna is going to be a good opportunity for us.
Is the tire that's used, you know, at the Indy road course / Portland, is it, you know, what about it makes it harder for you guys to kind of nail the setup? If there's something specific.
I don't know that it's that it's, you know, if we knew it wouldn't be an issue. It's, yeah, it's fair. I don't know. We yeah, it's
fair.
And it's also, yeah. I don't know. It's a bit of a struggle on trying to, I don't know. It's, yeah, we, any kind of direction we take, it always either sways the pendulum left or right of where the setup is, but we can never get it into that point where, hey, this is actually a pretty, you know, equal balance between the two, and it's quite easy. So it's either, hey, do you want to deal with this or do you want to deal with this? We haven't been able to kind of hone it down on, okay, this is actually, like, there's no issues to really have, and we could just work on this. And then obviously because of that, the wear on the tire and it just all increases, and it's tough for us, that compound.
How does that affect your headspace going into one of those races? Like, just kind of knowing, hey, this tire is not our favorite thing for some reason, for whatever reason, and I'm gonna have to pick the, like, you know, better of two evils basically in terms of setup. What does that do for you kind of preparing for the race? Are you kind of resigned to, like, okay, this is not going to be a good day, or do you still, like, okay, I are you optimistic?
Try to be optimistic, because I very much believe in the fact that if you go into something thinking it's gonna not be good, it's not gonna be good, you know. True. You have to make sure you have your mindset set on it being successful. So, you know, we're going to go into it being optimistic that, hey, this is going to be different. We're definitely going to find a setup going into it, and it's going to be a decent result at the end of the day. I'm not expecting it to be incredible, but hopefully somewhere finally in the right step just to finish off the season.
I like the positivity. It's a good way to look at it.
I actually heard that same sort of, like, mindset sort of thing on this, like, motivational podcast I listened to once in a great while, like, literally this on my drive back at lunchtime today. But anyway, so we always ask about music. You always come up with some ridiculous songs to add to the list that end up in my gym Spotify playlist. What do we have this month to add?
I also have a gateway playlist created for IndyCar, so that's going to be coming out pretty soon. I don't know. You know what? Let's go, because I'm feeling very motivational now after that whole moment. I think it's going to be so different, because I always want to switch it up on you. And I think it's going to be from the new Oppenheimer film. Can You Hear the Music by Ludwig Göransson. I don't know how you pronounce that, but might have butchered that.
I don't know. That looks good to me.
That
sounds good to me.
That movie was incredible. And yeah, I don't know. You listen to that song, especially halfway through, it really makes you feel like you can conquer anything.
I still haven't seen it yet, but I haven't been to the movies in years at this point, but I really want to go to the movies and see it. Like, it's on my list.
Have you seen it too,
Frenchie?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. It's kind of like, if I would explain like a normal movie or a book or anything, a show, it's like right before the moment of climax, where, like, the big moment happens, right before that, where you're, like, in suspense and you're, like, super zoomed into the TV or the theater. It's that for 3 hours, like, that feeling of just being like, you know, I had a it's almost like being in the car. Like, I had to pee so bad or all this stuff. I didn't think about any of that stuff because I was so honed in. Like, I was getting tunnel vision into this movie, and it's over, and then now it's like midnight, and I'm like, holy crap, that was just like, wow, on the edge of your seat type stuff.
It was the fastest 3 hour movie I think I've ever seen. Like, it, some movies feel like a 3 hour movie.
So suspenseful.
Like the Lord of the Rings movies, when I watched those, I remember feeling like, okay, even though I like it, this is, I can tell this
it's
is
getting
3 hours,
there.
But
yeah,
Oppenheimer,
exactly.
Not really.
Nope, did not feel it at all.
Lord of the Rings is also on my watch list because I've never seen it. So
okay,
I've been...
what?
He just avoids mainstream movies, I think, to be purposefully, what is the word, contrarian?
Yeah, no, I honestly don't. I watched all the Harry Potters last year. So, you know, I'm just way behind the times.
But that
I'm
was
not
last...
hip.
How far behind?
I'm not
were
hip.
You? Yeah.
I'm not, listen, nobody ever said I was hip and cool. You know, I accept that, like, I'm old and, you know, I'm just way behind. But yes, somebody else was giving me grief about not seeing Lord of the Rings pretty recently too.
Harry Potter's good. The first couple of Harry Potters feel like Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And then like they gradually just get darker. And then like at the end, it's like really dark.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. Okay.
It's kind of like the books too. Yeah. That definitely matches it. I was going to ask, did you see Barbie too? I know that that was sort of the other one that everybody had seen. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen Barbie because, you know, I'm not going to go and like go to the theater by myself to see Barbie. And but when my girlfriend was here, because we had the 1 weekend off last month, so we spent that time to go see Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Because we both agreed that that's the one that we were both, because we're both massive Christopher Nolan fans.
Yeah.
So that was the one we wanted to go watch. And then before we could get a seat for Barbie, I mean, she already had to go. And then she's already seen it with their mom when she got back. And then my mom is already went with my sister when I was racing. So it's like, now I don't really have anybody to go watch it with. So, and then my friend, he went back to Arizona. So it's like, now it's like, yeah, I'll probably just watch it when it comes out on like DVD.
Fair enough.
Or streaming services. Sorry, I don't really say DVD anymore.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but good point.
I don't think I own a DVD player. Like my laptop, neither of my laptops have like DVD drives at this point.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.
It's
been a long time. It's been a long time since I've seen a DVD. I'll never forget Disney Fast Play. That was incredible. Click here for Disney Fast Play. I don't know if you guys know that, but it was like on any Blu-ray Disney DVD. It would be this like moment where it's like you can't find the remote because it would be like you could skip all the ads, and it was like, and then Tinkerbell would like go across the screen and it'd be like, make sure to like click the remote now. It's a skip and get Disney's Fast Play. And I remember every time that came on, the remote, it was gone. It like it disappeared and you it's just scrambling to get it to make sure you could skip all the ads. I wonder if I could find it because it was incredible.
I remember that vaguely because the fact that you could skip all the previews and not just like continually hit the fast forward button, like, and have it do nothing like in most other movies was always something very unique about the Disney stuff. I doubt they would do that anymore. Now it would be like more ads than anything else.
Yeah, I put the link in. That is it. That's like my childhood right there.
All right, we will put this in the show notes as well, so everybody can listen to it.
Today's with Disney's Fast Play. Oh my god, the memories.
So
good. I love it. I'm sorry, I sidetracked.
Yeah, it's okay. That was, I mean, I don't know what this, I've never heard of it before, so I will watch it. I just saved it to my laptop so I can save it or watch it later. But since we only have, you know, 3 and change weeks left in the season, do you have any fun off-season plans other than, you know, at some point announcing, hey, this is who I'm going to race for next year?
Go on vacation. You deserve a vacation.
Yeah, right? So my sister, actually, she recently moved to Hawaii.
Heck yeah.
But so heck yeah for that, and heck no for the fires, because
that was my next question.
She lives on Maui, so she was 7 miles away from the fire, so thankfully did not reach her, but it got within 7 miles and she had to evacuate, but thankfully she came back in the house, is all okay.
Nice.
So obviously though, Lahaina, which was probably my favorite city in Maui, it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, everything is gone from that city. Burnt down to a crisp, except the special like spiritual trees. There's like a giant tree. Somehow that thing survived. It's right in the middle of it, and it's the only thing that's like not on fire. So pretty incredible. But yeah, so I obviously gonna go see her after the whole West Coast swing. I don't know though, because the I'm pretty sure the banquet is probably back at Indy, so that might not be great to obviously fly back, because my whole plan was West Coast, and then since I'm there, I fly to Hawaii. And then after Hawaii, because I actually had these plans to go last year, but I'm going to do it this year and go to Japan.
Nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's since I go to Hawaii, because obviously then it's just like a shorter flight, and it just makes sense to all get it done. So this off season, I have my last kind of like bucket list items that I want to do, just overall like places to go see. And Japan is one of them. So I'm very excited to go and do that.
So you mentioned the banquet, and it jogged my memory that we haven't discussed the new Nashville layout / Nashville being the season finale. I know it's hard to kind of get a feel for like a track layout when you're just looking at like a picture on a computer screen, but A, any thoughts on the track itself? And B, are you excited that Nashville is the season finale? Not excited? Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm excited for it to be a season finale. I mean, Nashville, it's Nashville. It's a great name. It's a good place, good people, great crowd. But from the track itself, I don't know. It definitely looks simple. It's interesting to see how it's going to be. I mean, I think the track itself has like 7 corners and then pit lane has like 6. So it's kind of, that kind of just made me laugh when I read that statistic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the thing is though, more simplicity, you know, maybe it adds for better racing, more passes. So and we go down Broadway, so that's obviously very cool. So yeah, super cool. Yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully it's not too bumpy, and if it is, hopefully they repave it and use this as like a good excuse to do it. But yeah, either way, I'm very excited. I think to end the season off, although, I mean, traveling wise, I think if you're looking from like a team perspective for travel going, because obviously then I don't know how it's going to be, but I'm guessing it's going to be West Coast and then have to come back for Nashville. But other than that, yeah, no, I'm excited.
I think Laguna is going to be in March.
Yeah, if they could put it early as well, I was thinking.
Yeah, or March or April. Like it's going to be at a different time slot. So I think you might have to go for
Portland. If it's after Long Beach, it makes sense.
So yeah, if it's after Long Beach, that actually makes sense, because then that would be better. So I was going to say, if they're going to do like Long Beach and then come back to like the Midwest and then go back to California for Laguna,
that would suck.
And then at the end of season, go back to Portland and then come back to Nashville, that would be rough.
Yeah. Frenchie, I got one more after this.
I'm just wondering, I don't know anything about the weather in Nashville in September. Do you think it's going to be as miserably hot at that time of the year? Hopefully not, right?
There's no way that September can be as hot. There's no way. I mean,
as first week of August, I guess you have a month or month and a half almost.
It's going to be better, I think. I don't think it's going to be nearly as that was hot. Like that was really hot. Obviously I didn't get to experience the full length, but I only did like a few laps and I already got out the car and I was like soaked. So it was going to be a hot race no matter what. But yeah, no, that's another thing too, is yeah, end of the season is definitely not going to be nearly as hot, and well, maybe not like nearly as much, but a little bit less.
So I got one more, just kind of your general thoughts on everybody's favorite championship leader who is maybe now not switching teams. And I don't know, it seems very chaotic from
Why would you
a,
say his name?
I don't know. It just was just fun to say it that
You're
way. But,
gonna sound like such a villain.
no, I mean, maybe, but I don't know. It seems very chaotic from our standpoint. So as a driver, I don't know if you have different thoughts on it, but whatever you're comfortable saying.
Yeah, it's tough to make comments on it since you don't actually know all the stuff that's happening in the background. And yeah, I mean, it's all behind closed doors, and you could put the blame here, put the blame there. At the end of the day, it's, I mean, I don't know. People are making decisions, and yeah, and the th thing is, they can't say anything either because it's all, pretty intense stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna really make much of a comment on it without actually knowing everything. I don't want to be like outside looking in and be like, oh, and start pointing fingers when realistically I have no idea what's happening. And I'm pretty sure everybody's reasons has another reasoning behind it.
Crunchy.
Sorry for like the boring answer,
Oh,
but
you're fine.
it's
It's
a lot.
a hard one because, like, I don't know. It just I don't really know what I think other than that it's chaotic and tiring. I don't know. I don't think necessarily either side is a villain unless you're, Chip Ganassi, who really doesn't like McLaren right now, which,
No, I would not mess with Chip. Like, that's one person I would not want to piss off.
You're gonna end up in that test tunnel he has in Pittsburgh on the abandoned highway sort of thing. So
Okay.
if you guys have never read about that, it's like an old highway tunnel they use for like straight line testing or used for straight line testing. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's just very chaotic and I don't know. It's fun to follow along, but also exhausting. But go ahead, Frenchie. I cut you off.
Yeah, the last thing I was just going to ask is, given the fact that we think maybe he's not now going to F1, I don't know if that kills his chances of getting into F1, but do you think it's a positive thing that the rumors swirl around someone like Pelot, and that the idea of like, oh, we see someone who is getting maybe interest from F1 teams, is that a positive thing, or are you just would you rather see like drivers of that talent stay in IndyCar? Because I think the depth of the series is something that we tend to hype about and just kind of like really, I don't know, emphasize.
Yeah, no, I that's one thing I don't like. I think IndyCar itself is already kind of the top of the creme, and I don't like the fact that, you have all these drivers always coming in and out from F1, drivers coming in or drivers going to F1. It's always kind of like this whole perspective that IndyCar is like F1's feeder series, and F1 is kind of the place where you want to go and be. And yeah, of course, probably F1 has a lot more money. It's international. They have a lot more supporters and stuff, and that's probably the main reason why drivers would want to go there. But from my standpoint, IndyCar is always going to be the place that I want to be, and I think that's just kind of the place that you want to be. I mean, like the talent in IndyCar is incredible, and there's a much more of an equal gap of chances for drivers from the back of the field to the start of the field to actually have a chance to win it. A lot more strategies, a lot more different kind of, what would I say, possibilities, variables with the refueling. When F1, it's like, this is, I think, the first year that I stopped watching F1 because I just have no more interest. It's just, every time I turn it
It's
on, I just,
dreadful.
it's so boring. And IndyCar, I just feel like, is the complete opposite.
Amen to that.
We need to like cut that part and like make it like a social media ad for IndyCar. But
Yeah.
it was funny. I was
Well said.
at
Yeah.
lunch last week or the week before with a girlfriend and one of her friends, and he was like a coworker, and he was like, oh, Formula One, Drive to Survive. And I didn't want to be like, Formula, because like I just met the guy, but I didn't want to be like, Formula One is dreadful this year. But so I tried to be like as nice as possible and be like, listen, man, like you should really get into IndyCar. Like, you know, even if you'd like want to come like watch a race with me, like whatever, I'll happy to hang out. And so hopefully I am in the process of
Lucas guy.
Yeah. You're like, you know, like, look, this guy's pretty funny. He's a pretty good driver. And they're all, you know, the races aren't terribly boring. I don't watch anything other than the race for F1. I don't even care about qualifying. And even then, the last race before summer break, I fell asleep in like 10 laps, 15 laps, maybe. So I just don't even pay attention to it. I thought of one last question. Quick answer. If you have the opportunity, would you do something like the Rolex come, you know, the end of January next year?
Yeah, if the opportunity would arise, I would be more than happy to do it. That would be awesome.
Would you wear the Rolex?
Of course, yeah. What? Yeah.
Heck yeah. I don't know. Some people put it in like a trophy case, I think, but I don't know, like a watch for wearing. So
no, I would yeah, no. I mean, yeah, I'm one of those people that don't like get stuff and then like put it on a wall. It's like, or like at least stuff that's like wearable, like shoes or watches and stuff. Like, no, I'm gonna wear it, especially that one, because it's like that one just is gonna have like a special place in your heart because you won it. It's like a different feeling.
You should have watches for more races, honestly. Like, that'd be cool if different watch companies gave prizes out at different races. Like,
I'd be into that.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Yeah. They should do that. If they're listening, which they're not, they should do that.
There's that watch company that sponsors Ganassi now, I think. I forget the name of it, but.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Autodromo or something. No, not Autodromo. What's the other one? No. Omologato?
Yeah, that one. That, you know, we can. Well, we'll start sending him DMs on Twitter to, you know, give out watches at every IndyCar race. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap there. Good luck the last couple of races. We'll talk in the off season and, you know, maybe after your announcement and see how everything's going so far. And yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the World of Outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.